When did I get old? When did everything change? I don't recognize this world. I don't remember this pain. Did time speed up? Or did I slow down? When did I get old? It's all behind me now. I used to fly so high and not fear a thing. I was 10 foot tall. Everybody knew my name. But the world keeps turning. Statues begin to fall. And now I'm just a man who used to have it all. So when did I get old? When did everything change? I don't recognize this world. I don't remember this pain. Did time speed up? Or did I slow down? When did I get old? It's all behind me now.
Until this morning, I had never heard that song before, had never heard of it. I was looking for something else, and I came across this, and I sat there and listened to it. Yeah. Maybe I asked that question myself. When did I get old? Powerful piece of music. Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, depending upon what part of the world you're in. Welcome to a Thursday installment of Perspectives on America. And I'm your host, Jeffrey Bennett. Glad to be with you. And I don't know if I want to listen to that song again. That really gets to me. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Hope you found yesterday's program of interest, cancer and cannabis, an old health program I did many, many, many years ago. Nothing really changes in any of these issues. And I'd had probably 2.5 hours sleep the night before, Tuesday night, and I got up and got rolling, and I worked and worked and worked. And it's not that I stopped working to go take a nap when the program was running. I was still working. And I worked until probably close to 1 o'clock last night, maybe 1:30. Got a lot of stuff I'm working on. Glad to have you here. I have been watching headlines that are so contradictory that it is simply sickening. Yesterday on NBC News out of Dallas-Fort Worth, this article pops up. Oil prices slip on U.S. crude stockpile increase. Now, I'm not going to share the entire article with you because, frankly, the title itself says it all. Crude oil futures fell for a second day on Wednesday. 2 days in a row. This is absolutely unbelievable. West Texas Intermediate contract, blah, 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 blah. I know right where that place is because I've been right through there. Grand Falls, Texas, on many occasions. It's unbelievable. I don't need to share the story. But then, what do we get? An article published the day before. No, also yesterday. No, day before. On Tuesday. Pump prices to hit $4 a gallon as the real sleeper risk for the oil market looms. And then the next day they came out and said that cost of oil is coming down. According to the article that I'm sharing little bits and pieces with you up from Zero Hedge, pump prices are set to accelerate even higher in the coming months to an average of $4 a gallon. Well, let me tell you what. I get out here to Circle K, and I pass by two or three of them if I happen to go to Denny's. And the damn stuff is all sitting there at $3.89, $3.99. I had to go to a nursery this morning to take a look at something. Some friends of ours go there quite often and highly recommend it. I went there. I wanted to puke. It was so bad. I thought the selection sucked. The prices were higher. I didn't see the quality of the kind of thing I was looking for. Didn't find the kind of mix that I was looking for. I turned around, walked out. But as I was driving down there, I passed a Q, whatever the heck it is I go to, Quicken, right? I can't remember what it's called right now. And son of a gun, they were down to $3.39. No, $3.59. Whatever the heck it was considerably less, 40 cents lower than the Circle K's. And it was a Circle K right across the street from them that had a higher price. Now, I'm sure if I'd have run down to my guy that does my service on my old 2003 Acura, it was my son's car, I probably could have gotten lower prices down there. But that's not the point. They keep jacking it up. This is absolutely unbelievable. Prices are set to accelerate higher. Oh, God, now I got to look at a video of Joe Biden. Please, don't make me look at that stupid stuff. I can't stand the guy. You know, when I go to YouTube sometimes looking for pieces of music, etc., and we're going to be doing some unusual pieces throughout this program tonight. And there's a YouTube ad that comes on there. Biden literally just crapping on Donald Trump. When does it stop? When in the world does this nonsense stop? Higher pump prices will also complicate the Fed's fight against the inflation monster and likely delay rate cuts this summer, which would undoubtedly upset markets. I mean, you'd think Joe would be pushing hard to bring the price of gasoline down so that people would be stupid enough to reelect him. And yet, that's kind of getting interesting because, well, I don't think he's going to make it anyway. Oh, even if he gets elected or erected, whatever you want to call it, I don't think he'll live long enough. Sickening. Let's go down a different path for a while here. This came out of CBS News several days ago, March 24th. I've also found a version of it published on dailynews.com. In an exclusive interview last week, the U.S. Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens has called the situation at the southern border a national security threat, expressing concern about tens of thousands of migrants who have evaded apprehension and entered this country surreptitiously over the past 5 months. He says the Border Patrol is closing in on recording 1 million apprehensions of migrants in between ports of entry along the U.S.-Mexico border in the 2024 fiscal year, which began last October. And for the third consecutive year, his agency is on track to record 2 million apprehensions by the time the fiscal year ends at the end of September. And that number is a large number. But what's keeping us, he says, up at night is the 140,000 known gotaways, referring to migrants who are detected by cameras and sensors crossing into the U.S. illegally but not apprehended. Why are they risking their lives and crossing in areas where we cannot get to? Owens asked. Why are they hiding? What do they have to hide? What are they bringing in? What's their intent? Where are they coming from? We simply don't know the answers to these questions. Those things for us are what represent the threat to our communities. The situation, Owens added, amounts to a national security threat. I continue to come across headlines dealing with this issue. I read numbers that are just appalling to me, my friends. Absolutely appalling to me. And we're going to cover a couple of other headlines. I'm not going to spend an hour talking about this, but we've got a few things to touch bases on to kind of bring you up to date. Owens goes on to say border security is a big piece of national security, and if we don't know who's coming into our country and we don't know what their intent is, that is a threat, and they're exploiting a vulnerability that is on our border right now. Well, Texas so far is winning their race. Their numbers of illegal crossings in the state of Texas has dropped tremendously. But they're all coming in through Arizona. And they're all still coming through Californicate. Owens agrees that the vast majority of migrants coming to the U.S. border are good people. And they probably are. He says, I think the migrants we encounter that are turning themselves in, yes, I think there absolutely are, by and large, good people. I wish they would choose the right way to come into our country and not start off on the wrong foot by breaking our laws. While a very small amount of those apprehended at the southern border are serious criminals, such as convicted gang members or sexual offenders, Owen says most migrants are surrendering themselves to Border Patrol agents to escape poverty or violence in their own home countries. I understand that. They're coming across because they're either fleeing terrible conditions or they're economic migrants looking for a better way of life. It's simply appalling. And yet, more recently, and we talked about one of these issues the other day, many of these illegals that are breaking into this country are being told by their superiors, as it were, to invade homes. Take over homes. We covered one of those stories the other day. And I'm seeing more and more headlines about it. We're seeing issues where people who were found guilty and booted out of the country came back into the country. They've murdered people. They've raped women. I could go on and on and on. Customs and Border Protection statistics show a tiny fraction of migrants processed by Border Patrol have criminal records in the U.S. or other countries that share information with American officials. And an even smaller percentage have been convicted of serious crimes. And yet, some who are convicted get let go free. It's unbelievable. Top law enforcement officials, including FBI Director Christopher Wray, have voiced concerns about criminal actors, including potential terrorists, exploiting the unprecedented levels of migration along the U.S. southern border over the past 3 years. In both fiscal years 2022 and 23, Border Patrol reported over 2 million apprehensions of migrants who crossed the border illegally, both all-time highs. And the extraordinary flow of people into this country is mainly driven by cartels. And when he was asked if the cartels were setting the rules of engagement at the southern border, his answer was yes, they absolutely are. Owens has been a career official. He spent more than 25 years in Border Patrol. He assumed that top position at the agency in June of 23, following the retirement of Raul Ortiz. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas called Owens a talented, selfless, and inspiring leader. Yeah? Well, Mayorkas, maybe you should pay attention to what Mr. Owens is talking to you about, you effing jerk. Owens also calls for tougher immigration policies to reduce the number of migrants arriving at the southern border. He said, I'm talking about jail time. I'm talking about being removed from the country, and I'm talking about being banned from being able to come back because you choose to come in the illegal way instead of the established lawful pathways that we set for you. Well, somebody set them a long time ago. It's unbelievable. Now, I'm sitting here babbling away. There's a video from Face the Nation. Border Patrol Chief, situation is a national security threat. It's not Owens. It's somebody else. But my God, the guy's a fruitcake. He's a raving faggot. Oh, does that offend you? Sorry. Tough beans, baby. I don't really care anymore. Let's see what we got here. Oop, this one disappeared. Ah. Migrants who overpower the National Guard may be allowed into this country. Overpower the National Guard and they may get allowed to come in? Federal agents recently spent 4 hours Tuesday detaining and moving migrants following an attempted southern border breach in El Paso. The undocumented persons are going through processing for possible entry into this country. Well, Texas does still continue to be the epicenter of the national immigration debate. You know why? Because the governor, and I like what he's attempting to do, keeps busing these freaking illegals to wherever the hell they want to go. Oh, he sends them to Jersey and to New York. And God knows where else. Chicago. Busloads. Unbelievable. Jeez. Texas is engaged in litigation with state officials vow to continue enforcing Texas policies and tactics to deter this record-setting 2.4 million migrant encounters in the U.S.-Mexico border in fiscal year 2023. That was up from 1.7 million in 2021. This is unbelievable. There are videos taken recently showing migrants from places like Africa and Venezuela overrunning the Texas National Guard. The footage drew strong reactions from officials and social media users, some of whom implored the Texas National Guard and federal agents to use lethal force in response to surging immigration attempts. Last Friday, U.S. Customs and Border spokesperson in El Paso told Newsweek magazine that the border surge began at approximately 11 o'clock in the morning, local time, on Thursday, including a large group of migrants. They breached Texas National Guard concertina wire barricades located between the Rio Grande and the border wall near Midway Drive and Loop 375. My friends, the story just goes on and on and on. Texas National Guard faces calls to shoot migrants after being overpowered. The migrants being arrested are surging. Migrants overpower Texas National Guard, tear down the border fence. I guess, you know, bah, 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 bah. You're destroying property, you schmucks. You know, El Paso Surge is calling Texas soldiers, causing Texas soldiers to double down on razor wire erected along the border in the Rio Grande. Oh, yeah, of course, Joey and company don't like that. Oh, no, no, of course not. They are looking forward to these folks as possible voters. Oh, how about this one? Biden is proposing granting green cards to, I hate this terminology, to undocumented immigrants who have lived in this country for at least 10 years. He wants to grant them green cards. Now, if they're undocumented, who the hell do you think you're dealing with? Who are these people? I mean, knowing the way the illegals operate and think and get controlled by, you know, MS-13, the whole nine yards, who's to say that they don't create some bogus documentation? And in which case they might be able to show that, yeah, they've lived here for 10 years or longer. I don't trust anything. I trust nothing coming out of this administration. And even once again, Mayorkas. This administration is contemplating a potential shift in immigration policy that could grant legal permanent residency, commonly known as green cards, to undocumented immigrants who've resided in this country, blah, 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 blah. Now, this proposed initiative aims to address the situation faced by long-term undocumented residents and their families who live under the constant threat of deportation. Is there a problem with their attempting to become citizens, or don't they want to be? And if they don't, then get them the hell out. I'm being polite using the word hell. To qualify for a green card under this plan, undocumented immigrants must demonstrate that they have continually resided in the U.S. for a minimum of 10 years. Additionally, they'd be required to provide evidence that their removal from the country would result in significant hardship and negative consequences for their immediate family members who possess legal residency or citizenship in this country. Oh, yeah, because when you came over, you instantly knocked up your wife or your girlfriend and had kids, and they were born, and automatically they were given citizenship. Ain't that exciting? But I understand preserving family unity is a paramount concern for the Biden administration, and this proposed policy change aligns with the border objectives of their immigration agenda. Administration seeks to prevent the separation of families by let them take the rest of their family back to where they came from. I've had it. Haven't you? I am fed up with every bit of this crap. This is just absolutely insane. Sickening. Just absolutely sickening. Is it ever going to end? Oh, was another one. A New York City council asks the state's highest court to allow non-citizens to vote in local elections. Oh, yeah. This news gal's hot. Oh, never mind. The controversial... This thing just jumps all over the place. This drives me nuts. Where'd this stupid thing go? All right, so New York City Council asked the state's highest court to strike down a pair of rulings in a move that would pave the way for non-citizen immigraciones to vote in city elections. And this controversial election change passed by the city council in late 2021, signed into law by then-Mayor Bill de Blasio, would have allowed 800,000 non-citizens with green cards to vote, but it was struck down as unconstitutional last month by an appellate court. Thank God for that. But the recent filing to appeal the second department's recent decision seeks a determination from the state's highest court that the law is consistent with the state constitution, election law, and the municipal home rule law. That, according to Randy Desimoors, spokesperson for the city council. Get that video out of my way. Three bets, that's who that person is. Empowering New Yorkers to participate in our local democratic process can only strengthen New York City by increasing civic engagement. But wait a minute. Just because they are residing in New York doesn't make them New Yorkers. First and foremost, every time I'm out there reading, more buildings are being given up. I read a piece this morning. I very briefly just kind of reviewed it. An old military housing situation, former military people, was being taken over. They will no longer accept retired or, you know, injured U.S. military, former military people, et cetera, et cetera. And, well, they're allowing illegals to move in there. I don't know what state it was in. I can't remember, but it was a building named after some historic people, whatever the case may be. But the council argues that non-citizens here legally should be able to vote since they pay taxes and make contributions to their community. But they ain't citizens. They're not, you know, if you're going to allow them to start voting in New York City, pretty soon they're going to be yelling and screaming, why can't I vote for El Presidente? Why can't I vote for, well, we want to keep AOL, you know, in the House or the Senate or whatever the heck she's in. You know what AOL stands for? A-holes online. It's that simple. Sorry. So now this case is going to head to New York's Court of Appeals. In plain English, the New York State Constitution says only citizens have a right to vote in these elections. That, according to Staten Island President Vito Fossele, a good Italian, one of the lawmakers who filed the legal challenge. He said the city council has no authority to do what they did. He says, we're going to be ready to do what we can. He said, we are not surprised. Mayor Eric Adams, a co-defendant in previous court battles, did not join in on the challenge this past Monday. So his honor, you see, has been quiet as of late about the law known as Local Law 11, which was sponsored by former Councilman Yadanis Rodriguez, who now serves as Adams Commissioner of the Department of Transportation. They said when he first took office, Adams said that allowing non-citizens to vote was the best chance after having initial, the best choice, I'm sorry. He said it was their best choice. Whose best choice? Oh, that's right, because if you people stand up and allow these kind of people to be able to vote, they'll probably vote for you. Unbelievable. I could go on and on with this story, but I think we've made the point. This is the kind of nonsense that's going on. We've got an image of a guy sitting on a park bench with a bunch of pigeons flying around him. He's obviously homeless. Could be an illegal from Africa. Matter of fact, every person in this image happens to be of the darker persuasion. I'm not going to knock that on him. And, I mean, here's a bag full of garbage. There's stuff all over the place. And, oh, in the background is a little city park for kids in the neighborhood to come play. Swings, slides, usual stuff. The earth behind him is pure dirt. And they're sitting there eating a bag of corn chips or something. And the headline under the image says the election would only apply to those here legally with work authorizations. Well, just because you're here legally would not give you the right to vote. You're not a citizen. This is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Is it ever going to end? I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening, people. It's pretty appalling. Hey, Michael, I know it's past the half hour. If you would like to stick an ad on there, go ahead and run some commercials and give me a couple minutes to run down the hall and have a quick dance with Kim and go wee-wee. I'll be right back, folks. Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214. We'll be right back. Oh, my goodness gracious. A quick little dance with Kim is always good for my mental state. Another interesting headline that just angers me. Came from a very lengthy article. We won't have time for it. I may spend some time with it here to fill this hour up because I've got plenty coming up in the next hour. 12-month, 404. Now, let me stop for a minute. We are sending military troops to more places around the world. We're sending more stinking money around the world for other countries to continue with their war. And I've already heard the leader of the Ukraine is already setting up lines to come back to get more money. And Biden just keeps giving it and giving it and giving it and giving it. And that's his way of just telling Putin to go kiss my arses. And why the hell doesn't this country just stay out of everybody else's problems? We've got problems of our own. Big time. You know, they're talking about jacking the gas prices up. I read a piece yesterday that talked about that the fact that you can actually rent an apartment for less money than it'll cost you to buy a home and pay a mortgage today. Now, the numbers were a little funky because they talked about $1,500 rent versus $3,500 mortgage payments. Well, I ain't paying anywhere near $3,500. I think my wife and I pay $1,150, $1,180, something like that. We are sitting in a house that's worth about $550,000 that if we sold it, first of all, we've got an existing mortgage of only $170,000 at this point. We bought this place, we put a good chunk of money down, never borrowed money against it, and just keep paying it down, paying it down, paying it down. My God, we've been in this house 19 years on July the 1st. I've never lived in a single home that long in my life. I'm doing a bunch of work in the gardens right now. Our neighbors that are moving out, they're getting divorced, have given us so much stuff that I'm hanging on the walls in the backyard. And it's just unbelievable. I picked up a couple of plants this morning. They're going to start going in and because I'm redoing garden areas, et cetera, et cetera. We've got the aloe vera that my son and I brought out here from Illinois when he was 4. One tiny little plant, and I've created so much aloe vera, which is phenomenal for your health, your skin, things of that nature, burns. And it's a decent-looking plant. It really is. And these folks gave me a little barrel cactus that's in a pot. That's now in the front yard over near some more of the aloe vera we've got planted here. So if we sold it, what are we going to do? Go out to Sun City West. I could buy a house for less than for roughly half what we'd sell this place for. Except, is it a house? Oh no, they're either a condo or it's a townhouse type situation, or it's kind of two houses that are connected together, which means you got a wall in between you and you got neighbors beating the crap out of each other on the other side of the wall. I'll pass, thank you very much. So I start looking at all these massive expenses that we're doing for people around the rest of the world. I mean, here's Biden sitting there writing all these college loans off. I read a piece last night about a woman who's almost 80 years of age, still owes a massive amount of money on the college loan that she took out when she was going to college many, many, many decades ago. It's still not paid off. And it's the amount she still owes is 5 times what the original loan was for because of the interest, and it goes on and on and on. Oh, it's just stupid. And so in the last 12 months, $404 million was contracted to transport migrant children. You and I are paying for it. And nothing compels our federal government to participate and complete the mission of a criminal conspiracy, because that's what it is. As part of the Center for Immigration Studies' efforts to bring transparency to the U.S. immigration system using the Freedom of Information Act, Colin Farnsworth, the chief FOIA counsel, has requested a contract between the U.S. government and a private entity to transport unaccompanied alien children from shelters run by the Office of Refugee Resettlement in the Department of Health and Human Services to their sponsors in the U.S. 119 pages of it. Bottom line is that taxpayers forked out $404 million over a 12-month period to complete a criminal conspiracy under a contract that failed to detail how care provider escorts would identify the sponsors they were giving the kids to, or how they would assess whether those kids would be safe. That, my friends, is a big deal, given the likelihood that this was the last contact many of those children would ever have with the U.S. government. How many of those children have been sold as sexual favors? You get it? Because that kind of stuff is going on. That kind of stuff is going on big time. I have a... see if I can open this darn thing up. I may not be able to. Hang on. Over at federalobserver.com, one of my categories is entitled... I got to scroll down. I can't think right now. Let There Be Life. Now, most of what that category is about is abortion, but there are some other things, and that is the misuse of children being offended by and attacked and sold into sexual slavery, et cetera, et cetera. You think some of these kids that are coming in over the border without parents? There was a piece just a few weeks ago about a young boy and I think his three sisters, and they were all legitimately brothers and sisters, who showed up at the border, and in each of their hands had a piece of paper with an address in New York, which is allegedly where their parents live. And that's where they wanted to be transported to. Did anybody bother to check to see if that is a legitimate situation? I don't know. I just don't know. This just goes on and on and on. I may well publish this Center for Immigration's column tonight. We'll have to see. I've been doing massive amount of work on websites lately. Huge. Absolutely huge. Let's take a few minutes and talk about some of these things. I want to make sure I've got this article saved, because this is it's too interesting not to save it, not to publish it. It's too worthwhile. Let's go take a look at, I want to spend a few minutes talking about what I've been up to with a couple of the websites. I share with you the situation that we're dealing with the Patriot Post publication. And I have a category on Metropolis .cafe called Linda's Classroom. And I still have about 12 or 13 more of her articles to have published. She publishes a new article every 2 weeks. And she is profound. She is a retired teacher. And I like the way she writes. It's light, but it's right on when she deals with historical things. And that is what she talks about. Coming all the way back to the beginning, the founding of this nation. And the speeches and the history that she's providing, not the speeches, but the history she's providing on, you know, there's a piece of Andrew Jackson dealing with the Cherokee National Principal Chief John Ross. Just a wide range of things. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with you right now. But the simplicity of her stuff is great for younger kids, younger students that are being homeschooled, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I kind of got raked over the coals because I'd never gotten permission from Patriot Post. Well, technically, I don't need it. Okay, first of all, I am promoting the Patriot Post when I post it because there's the links always go back to the original. The only difference is I do a lot of images in the postings that I do. All historical, all that support everything she's doing. It's astounding. So I sent a very lengthy email, which I told you the other day. I've never gotten a response back about that email. So either they're going to go after me or they just decided he's right and let it go at that. But who knows? Okay, let's take a couple minutes to talk about Federal Observer. Anyway, I've been doing a lot of work with Linda's Classroom. I've got the 12 or 13 articles to do. Probably take me 3-4 hours at most to have all those things converted over. Federal Observer. Been doing some very interesting stuff over there. Had a long talk with Charles Dickens yesterday. And he has a website he's had for many, many years, but it's now being taunted. There are people that are finding ways to break into it that are causing him a lot of grief, a lot of problems. He doesn't really have the right kind of security on it. There's the expense of it, of course. And I decided to approach Charles, and I said, look, would you object if I took all the articles that we have published on Federal Observer of his, written by Charles Dickens, and if I would set up a new category just for your work, and it, you know, it's not going to be removed from Federal Observer, but I would move all the articles that I published for you. He had this site called Amalgamated Heavy. And so he and I talked about it a little bit. Would you mind if I set up a, you know, individual category? People go to the website, they'll scroll down the categories on the right, and all of a sudden they'll come across this thing. Would you object if I gave it the same title, Amalgamated Heavy? He said, not at all. And so that is what I've been working on today. In addition to getting up and going to get some breakfast this morning and going to Home Depot to pick up a few things I needed and going to a nursery and then leaving there. And after I ate, I went to a different Home Depot because they've got a phenomenal nursery. So if you go to Federal Observer, you scroll down the right, you will see a category called Dickens, the Amalgamated Heavy. When I sent him the image that I wanted to post, he fell out of his tree. He said, you've got to be kidding. That's phenomenal. So we've got about 30 of his 80 columns already moved over and converted and into that category. I've still got a bunch more to go, but they're all going to get there. And then, and I may have somebody else listening to the program as we speak, and I told him I would try to call him later. I have set up another category. I did this about 2 hours ago. I have a phenomenal respect for Charles, also for Justin Smith. And next hour, we're going to be sharing Justin's latest commentary. And I've given this new category for Justin Smith. First of all, I've got this picture from the movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. That's the old Jimmy Stewart movie. Well, in this particular picture, the Jimmy Stewart character is standing behind a window, theoretically, we assuming it's Congress, and he's pointing at the White House. And of course, Stewart always had these smirky little looks on his face, or kind of a half smile, like, ha, 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 I know the truth. So I have tentatively set up this new category for Justin Smith, and I've chosen to title it Mr. Smith Takes on Washington. So let's see how Justin reacts to that. I've only posted one of his articles, his latest article, in there right now so he can see it. And but I got into it and I found out the number of Justin's articles that I'm going to have to spend some time moving over. And it is, I think it's over 200 articles. Now, that doesn't include the few articles of his that I've also published over at metropolis.cafe and possibly even some of the other sites, possibly at Sierra Madre. But let's see what happens with it. It's kind of refreshing the website a little bit, doing a few things. Every once in a while, I'll come in and change an image and do something a little bit different. But these writers deserve a category of their own. Obviously, we have a category called Invasion. You obviously know what that's all about. And Village of the Damned, which we have Village of the Damned at metropolis.cafe, but Village of the Damned on the two websites is treated differently. On federalobserver.com, one will learn the negative side of education. And for those of you who don't know, the terminology Village of the Damned was titled because of Hillary Clinton's great statement about it takes a village to raise a child. The hell it does, you bitch. Excuse my French. But I'm not going to apologize because that's what she is. Well, and speaking of which, one of Bill Clinton's ex-honeys, as it were, I think just turned 50. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm going to tell you what. This gal is drop-dead gorgeous. She's doing a little bit of modeling right now. She has run an extremely clean life. I've got a couple of images of her that they're not sexy. They're just, they look damn good. And right now, this second, I'm blanking on her name. It's the gal that he did the number with in the Oval Office, or as I call it, the Oral Office, because that's what took place. Simply amazing. Simply amazing. What has all this got to do with anything? I guess I'm getting too old. That's how the story began tonight, right? We're all entitled to a few laughs now and then. And what the heck is that gal's name? What's the matter with me? Well, end of the hour. Stick around. Be back in a few minutes on the other side. We'll pick up where we left off to some degree. Stay with us. Any minute now, I'm expecting all hell to break loose. People are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed.
place ain't doing me any good. I'm in the wrong town, I should be in Hollywood. Just for a second then I thought I saw something move. Gonna take dancing lessons to the jitterbug rag. Ain't no shortcuts, gonna dress in drag. Only a fool here would think he's got anything to prove. Lot of water under the bridge, lot of other stuff too. Don't get up, gentlemen, I'm only passing through. People are crazy, times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. I've been walking 40 miles, a bad road. If the Bible is right, the world will explode. I've been trying to get as far away from myself as I can. Some things are too hot to touch. The human mind can only stand so much. You can't win with the losing hand. Feel like falling in love with the first woman I meet. Putting her in a wheelbarrow and wheeling her down the street. People are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. Just don't show it. You can hurt someone and not even know it. The next 60 seconds can be like an eternity. Gonna get low down, gonna fly high. All the truth in the world adds up to one big lie. I'm in love with a woman that don't even appeal to me. Mr. Jinx and Miss Lucy, they jumped in the lake. I'm not that eager to make a mistake. People are crazy, times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.